You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with MLB.com's Jim Duquette as we talk Orioles. First of all, Jim, thanks for stepping in this week, filling in for Brittany.
Of course.
The Orioles continue to play good baseball, and what a moment over the weekend when you talk about Manny Machado, three home runs, not three home runs in a game, not three home runs in three at-bats, but three home runs in the first three innings of a game. Now he goes on to go 3-for-6, didn't get that fourth one, but just the second player in Major League history to homer in the first, second, and third inning of a game. Carl Reynolds did it in 1930. Two of those were inside the Parkers also, by the way, when Reynolds did it, but is Machado, obviously that's a great performance, and he's having a good year. Is he still very much an MVP candidate?
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, the MVP candidates we know come from the teams that end up winning divisions or at the top, and obviously the Orioles have been there all year. He's been their best player. He's carried them through the season. So I think he does get serious consideration. It's amazing how he's kind of taken his game to another level. It's interesting, he had those home runs. He was struggling, and admittedly so, for quite a while, and he was working on a couple of things in the cage and trying to work on his consistency, and it paid off in that particular game, and then ended up hitting home run against the A's as well. And so the homer streak that he's on right now, it's a legit one. We know the defense is there. You know, let's not forget early in the season he was playing shortstop and doing it well. So yeah, I think there's a lot of people when you look at that story, and it's kind of a refreshing one to see. I think that, you know, if he continues to play and swing the bat the way he has, that he will be in that mix in the end for the MVP of the American League.
You mentioned that he had kind of been in a slump, but nobody's in a worse slump than Chris Davis. And this is what Chris Davis does. I mean, this is, you know what you're getting. When they gave him the big contract, they knew there'd be streaks when he was hitting homers every day. And they knew there'd be streaks like the current one, which is since July 17th. He's 7-for-66. That's a 106 clip. Just one home run over that stretch, three RBIs, and that one home run, the only extra base hit. So the question is, you know this is going to happen, but he's still batting cleanup right now. Would it do the Orioles good to maybe move him down in the batting order until he warms up again?
I think that would make a lot of sense. The other problem is he's striking out at one every two at-bats almost. You know, it's, you know, over his last 72 at-bats, he struck out 31 times. I mean, that's an incredible rate when you look at it. And so, yeah, he has gone through these streaks before. I think the good news is he's come out of them before. It just doesn't look like he's going to come out of it this year. That's the problem. Yeah. It's been so prolonged. So, yeah, I think with Davis, I do think it would make sense. I know Buck is reluctant to shake up that lineup. He's done it a couple times at the top of the lineup, but he's been reluctant to do it in the middle. But I do think that, listen, Pedro Alvarez has been swinging the hot bat lately. It would make some sense to put him in the middle of the lineup. The problem is Pedro, when he's batting in the fourth spot, he puts a little extra pressure on himself too. So, you know, I think it's of all of the guys, you know, you're paying them big money to Davis. Buck, I don't know if he's going to move him out of there, but it does make sense in my mind anyway, move him down in that sixth spot or so in the lineup.
And you hope that at some point, I mean, there's still time. He could get hot. I mean, they're in a good shape. He gets hot in mid-September. Great. Carry it through October. And you know, he's the kind of guy that can put a team on his back when he's right. But certainly that's not the case right now. All right. So that's enough on the Orioles offense because, Duke, this podcast always seems to come back to the Orioles pitching.
Do they have enough? Yes.
Yeah. And obviously they made some moves at the deadline. But let's talk about the guys that have been there all year. And Dylan Bundy suddenly looks like an ace, suddenly looks like a guy that was a top five pick in the draft way back before the injuries and all that. His pitch count last time out, he gets up to 92 pitches as they continue to stretch him out a little bit. In his five starts, 3-2 with a 3 ERA, the strikeouts are there like you would want from an ace guy. If you went into a playoff series right now with the Orioles, obviously Chris Tillman starting game one. Does Dylan Bundy start game two?
Well, I mean, if that decision was made today, you'd have to look at that and say, yeah, there's a good chance that he probably would be your number two. You know, and there's always different factors there. But, you know, especially if it's a home start where he's got the crowd behind him, he's still a young kid. The one thing that has stood out, you know, it's interesting to me, a couple things with him is right about the end of May, right around Memorial Day, they started using him every fourth day or every fifth day. And they were kind of preparing everybody, including him, to start. But he was pitching in relief. He was getting a side session in between. That seems to really help him. And then after the Dodger game, which was about, you know, when he right before the All-Star break, struck out every batter of the seven outs that he had that day. They were all strikeouts. That from that point on, they said, you know what, in his competitiveness and everything else that went on there, that seemed to make a huge difference for him confidence-wise, and that was the deciding factor for the Orioles to put him in the rotation. And from that point on, he's shown three above-average pitches that that play, and as long as he can stay healthy, which we know has been his biggest issue, there's no reason to think that he can't continue to do this and still be manageable. His workload, his innings pitch, which is they've been real careful about, he's going to go beyond the 80 innings that they had targeted at the beginning of the year. But how he's gotten there's no reason to think he can't handle that workload.
Yeah, you really got to give the Orioles credit for not just starting him in the bullpen. I mean, part of that was because he had to prove himself and they didn't want the long starts. But to do it the way you said it, to give him long stretches of time off between those bullpen, it was almost like he was a starter even though he was only pitching an inning or two each time out. So Bundy seems to have figured it out and gotten healthy. Now they need Kevin Gausman to get there. And seems like it's starting to happen. Similar situation, obviously, with Gausman, a guy that was a first-round pick and plenty of expectations. Maybe he came up a little before his time when they first called him up, and he's kind of been back and forth. But this year had been so tough. And on Monday night, he drops to 0-9 on the road, and that's worse than he's pitched. I mean, that record's probably not fair because he pitched decent. In his last two starts, 13 innings total, 4 earned runs. Starting to see him kind of turning it around as well?
You know, there's no question. I mean, we've seen a huge difference between road and home, but the game against the A's, he really did pitch well. And you know, there's also been a common theme where they haven't given him a lot of run support either, you know. So I think there's a couple things there. But I think the most important thing with Gausman, does he have the fastball command? Because we know how good that is. And how's the changeup working off of the breaking ball? I saw a better breaking ball against the A's and a better breaking ball for strikes here at the last five or so starts. His ERA 3.64 over the same period that you were talking about with Bundy. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of good things to look at, to watch for him. You know, and you add him and Bundy and then adding Wade Miley, of course, at the deadline, that rotation looks a whole lot different than it did the first 3 months.
Yeah, and as much as it's been criticized and people have talked about how they don't have enough pitching, if you get to the playoffs, you need less pitching, obviously. You need less starters. When you look at this group now and put it into a playoff scenario, it looks a lot better, doesn't it, than a five-man rotation throughout the year?
Well, and that's, again, you're right. I mean, the three, let's say you take the top three guys. The knock that you could have on it is youth, inexperience. But in terms of stuff, you'd be hard-pressed to find, certainly Gausman and Bundy have terrific stuff, matches up against anybody. And, you know, just ask the hitters when they're facing them. And Tillman, the way he's been, I mean, you know, he was good enough to be an all-star if they had taken him. And you know, I think so all of those things combined for me, they would match up well. And again, it looks to me the way the Orioles have been playing here as of late that they're the team to beat. It's going to be certainly, interesting as they start to play more games in the American League East and they start to face off against the Red Sox. They have a lot of, I think there's three more series left for the Red Sox. That will start to kind of play itself out too.
The bullpen has been strong all year, and nobody's been better in baseball in the ninth inning this year than Zach Britton, to the point where in a year in the American League where there's all these possible Cy Young candidates, but nobody really jumping out there, maybe he starts to enter the conversation because the ERA, almost a half run, basically, 0.58. He's perfect, obviously, on save opportunities. 19 appearances without a run. I mean, he's been incredible, close to a record when it comes to that. Could you see him starting to get a little more momentum as far as Cy Young goes?
I think there's plenty of hardware to go around with this club. I think Britton's one of those. Again, you kind of touched on it. In a year so far where there's not a standout American League pitcher on a really good team, that's usually the recipe how you see closers sneak in and maybe grab that hardware away from the starters. And there's no question the impact that he's had. I mean, their bullpen has been good. It always starts at the back end with the closer. So Britton has certainly pitched well enough to be in that consideration. In the end, there's going to be a lot of things that have to go on, you know, the rest of the season. You know, first off, he needs to continue to pitch well. And he's got that really tremendous streak, as you mentioned, consecutive games without giving up an earned run. But, you know, they need to win. And then, you know, you need to see some, we'll say, ineffectiveness of some of that competition.
Has he been underappreciated a little bit over the last few years outside of Baltimore? I mean, I know the Orioles know what they got, but
yeah.
I mean, if you threw out going into this year who the best closers in baseball, I don't think he's near the top of the list. I mean, he's in the discussion maybe, but I would say maybe rattle off five guys before you get to him.
You could have absolutely gone Chapman, Kimbrel, and Kenley Jansen and Wade Davis. You go, all right, but. Right on that cusp is Britton. He's been there and he's been so consistent. I think he's taken his game to another level this year. And he does it with one pitch. Right. It's it's almost the same percentage as Rivera throwing his cutter. I mean, it's 80%. It's a heavy sinker, bowling ball type of pitch, and it's hard to square up. Familia is another one with the Mets, obviously, but in terms of American League, closers, it's hard pressed to find anybody better than him. Certainly, as consistently good as he's pitched.
This has been MLB.com Extras, our Orioles edition. For Jim Duquette, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.